Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good evening and good evening. I'm Pastor Jay Rouse, and you're listening to Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications edition of the Pastor Jay Rouse Show. Today is January the 8th, 2014. I spoke with you guys exactly 1 week ago, and 1 week ago today was the very first day of this fabulous, amazing, extraordinary new year called 2014. Praise God. I pray you're all well. I pray you're blessed. And you know what? Even if you don't think you are, I can tell you you are, because you can hear me. You're alive. and you're well. And you know what? Aches and pains, as I tell people, it's just a reminder that you're still here. If you felt absolutely nothing, then guess what? You wouldn't be alive. Praise God. We're going to get things started off and get it started off right. But I want to play a song because I've been dying to hear some music all day. I'm going to play Soweto Gospel Choir, Forever Young. And I have a reason why I'm playing Forever Young. So take a listen and follow me right back after this song, and I'll give you an update of what's going to be happening tonight and all of this month. So here we are, Forever Young by Soweto Gospel Choir.
May God's blessings keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others. The others do for you. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you grow up and be courageous. Stand upright and be.
Young, if only that were true. But you know what? You don't have to be old. You might be older, but the key to youth is not staying young, but feeling fresh and young. Remember that saying, you're only as young as you think you are? I used to say, I'm only as young as I feel I am, but with my aches and pains, I'm not feeling so young, but I think I look really young, so I feel really good. Praise God. And you know what? When you love the Lord and the Lord loves you, there's something about him that just keeps you youthful in spirit, and it comes from within to the outside. But we have a wonderful show ahead of us. I'm excited about what's going to be happening this month. I'm excited at the launching of the new year. Before we begin, the Bible tells us, in everything, prayer and supplication. So let's dedicate our day and our lives and our listening ears and certainly turn this show over to the Lord, because if I had to run this by myself, I would make a complete mess of it. Praise God. So let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God. The world may be in turmoil and our lives might even be in turmoil, but Father God, we still know that in the midst of all this drama and this mess and crazy weather and whatever else is happening out there, you are still in control. Maybe that's why things are the way they are, because you need to let us know that we don't control anything. And so for that very reason, we humble ourselves before the throne and we ask even more for the grace and mercy that you already give us, and that you would continue to give us the patience, wisdom, and understanding to follow through and hold on tightly as you have asked us to be, and hold on to the Lord's unchanging hand. Father God, right now we ask those who are mourning, who are grieving, who are sorrowful, who are sad, or maybe suffering from depression. Father God, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift our hands, and as we have power and authority, we speak it now that joy shall overcome. And Father, that the Comforter that you have left behind will encamp around those who need you the most and allow them to get through. Father God, we pray for our finances, Father God, all those who are going through financial heartache, Father. We ask a blessing in abundance and to find a way out of no way, because you don't do things the way we do. And what man might do, God can do even greater. So, Father God, we speak miracles and signs of wonders into their lives. And, Father, but we ask right now that they remember that when the blessing comes through, that all we do, the glory and honor goes to you. Father, continue to keep us healthy, strengthen us. We speak to colds and flus and viruses right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would heal those fast and allow them to continue to be the strong individuals that you preordained them to be, Father. Father, those who are trying to answer your call to ministry or just to service in general, Father, we ask that you strengthen them, that you encourage them, and that you put up a standard, Father God, so no weapon will be formed against them and certainly not prosper in the name of Jesus. Father God, we also ask right now as we go forth and we deal with the topic of relationships, Father God, we speak to this ailment called loneliness, Father. It cannot be diagnosed. It cannot be given medication. Father God, we ask right now that you remove this lonely spirit. And if you are with them, they are not alone. And Father, you have told us to love one another. And Father, we ask right now that you would bring somebody into everyone's life that needs someone. And Father, we ask that we would also have a spirit of giving and a spirit of loving for those of us who have and take so much for granted, that we would share our joy and happiness so all these people can actually feel that they are a part of us and not feel alone. But right now, Father, as we move ahead with the show, we lift it up and we hand it over to you, Father God. You take control, take over right now. Use me, mold me, and make me. And Father, make me over, as the song would say. Allow me to continue to do your will, to do your bidding. And Father God, I ask that you would just continue to give me the strength to keep going, and that the world would know that you are my purpose and that you are my everything. And Father, bless my guest this evening and bless her husband and her family. And Father, we ask that you would bless all that she puts her hands to allow it to prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. So we hand it over now. And all those who certainly must agree, but won't do it by force, but free will, we shall together and collectively say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's play some more music. I'm really into music today. We're going to play another song. Then I'm going to come back and give you some more information. And we've got some amazing sponsors for today's show that we can't wait to share and give a shout out to. And we've got birthdays. We've got a special guest. We've got segments from her show. We have almost what you would consider a live confession from her, from her own Q&A, and then we're going to be dealing with her. But because our theme today is love, I think it's so important that we remember about love. You know, we were told to love one another, and I always remember something my mom told me once. I can remember saying about my stepson Trenton, there was something that he wouldn't do, and I thought, well, how can he not know about it? And my mom said, but honey, he was born, and he wouldn't know about these things. You have to train him. You have to teach him these things. And so I got to teach him. And when you think about it, we're supposed to be trained up like a child. And so if we want to know love, we have to experience love. And the first person we have to learn to love is ourselves. But we cannot learn to love ourselves, and certainly after that can't learn to love others unless we really understand real love. And the one who teaches us that, well, I'll let Jason Brown, a.k.a. J.B. Sachs, let you know about that, because God is Love is a song.
So you say you want a man that'll be there to the very end, never holding you up, kind of man that God can send. Someone that won't put pressure on you, regardless of what you've been through, the kind of man that can and will take care of you. Help me out. Love is patient, love is kind, love is a part of life's time. Just look around and you will find that God is love. Can you picture a love that never dies? It gets stronger, bringing tears of joy in your eyes. A love so strong, all you have to do is call his name. One touch from the hem of his garment and you'll never be the same. Oh no, love is patient, love is kind, love is a part of life's time. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. A man with great love and stability, showing no signs of hate or insecurity. A man who won't get bored or tired of you, remind you that his love is true, by whispering sweet nothings in your ear like you can do it, boo. Love is patient, love is kind, love is a part of life's time. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. Wouldn't it be nice if every man was this way? Even though you're so sad of weakness, he lets you know that it's okay, it's okay. Wouldn't it be nice to put your trust in a man like this?
when two are gathered together, there is in the midst. What kind of love is this?
Love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of a lifetime. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. God is love. When all hope is lost, He died for you and me. Yes, He paid the cost. God is love. When you're feeling down, God is love. When nobody's around, God is love. In sickness and in pain, God is love. Sunshine and rain, God is love. When you feel like nobody understands you, God is love. And His love will take you to more love.
Love is patient,
more
love.
Oh, love.
Love is a part of a lifetime.
Everybody sang with me.
Love is patient, love is kind.
Everybody sang with me.
Amen. God is love. And so, you know what? It says, because of that, we should love one another. And you notice, I've always laughed because you always hear people say, well, a man should love a woman a certain way, but a woman should not have to give in to a man because they think that men are to control us. And it's not biblical when they say to submit. They don't mean to submit and become the man's slave, and I certainly know that most of the women out there that I know, they're not about to become anybody's slave. I can see the men slaving for these women, praise God. What they mean is to submit your heart, your being, your whole self, the same way you would surrender to God. It says that you should love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your body, and your spirit. Every ounce of you is the Lord's. And to submit to your husband is not just physical love, but it also means that there's an agape love. It's a love that is unconditional. And if you submit to your husband and he is, oh, listen to this part now, girls. He's a man of God, he will know how to treat you right. If he doesn't, well, the Lord will get his little butt. Praise God. But you still have to be able to submit because remember, he has something he has to be obedient about because he said he should love you like Jesus loved the church. And I mean, he loved the church so much that he gave his life up for it. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I'm feeling really good and warm and fuzzy today because I love the topic of love. I think love is a beautiful thing. What does it say? Love is a many splendor thing. Praise God. I think that's phenomenal. But moving right along, it's birthday, congratulations time, all kinds of stuff. I want to give a couple shout-outs to my buddy Doug, Dougie in Windsor, had a birthday. I think he normally said he would start counting backwards, but I think he's just going to freeze this one. And I think he has no choice but to freeze it because it's so cold in Ontario. So a happy birthday. I want to give a shout out to everybody else who's celebrating a birthday and having an amazing time. If you had a birthday from last week to today, could you imagine the January 1st babies? I don't know. That's got to be amazing. I know people celebrating Christmas on New Year's Eve, forgive me, and New Year's Day. It feels like the whole world is having a big birthday party for you. Praise God. I want to say a shout out to a friend of mine. They just brought a baby into the world a Mr. Caleb. Even that name is biblical. So we're going to pray a blessing upon baby Caleb, that all joy, love, prosperity would all be his, that God's grace and mercy would follow him all the days of his life. Amen. Praise God. I want to give a shout out to Ms. Nat, my dear friend, and especially amazing illustrator. She's the illustrator of some of my children's books, and she just does amazing work. She's an awesome person, and she's my buddy. We want to say congratulations to her because she had something wonderful happen today, too. And you know what? I'm even giddier. You know me. I love when wonderful things happen to good people, and I love it when wonderful things happen to bad people, because you know what? I know that if they're being blessed, I know it hurts us sometimes, but if they're being blessed, the Lord has a purpose for it. Amen? So we shouldn't be hating on them. And what's for you is for you, and what's for me is for me. And, well, stop getting what's for me and you I want to have. Amen. Praise God. But in the meantime, we've got to give a shout-out to all those who are celebrating, having an anniversary, maybe just got married. Could you imagine? I can't even imagine what an ultimate cold winter wedding is like. I've got to say a happy anniversary to my cousins Carrie and Stacy. They're celebrating their anniversary about a week ago. So many wonderful things. So, but if I missed you and I didn't give you a shout out, you need to holler at me. And you can do so at PastorJRouseShow@gmail.com or RouseMinistriesBroadcasting@gmail.com. Or you can hook us up on Twitter, Pastor Rouse Show. There's no J, just Pastor Rouse Show. Okay, and of course we're on Facebook. Yep, we're on the FB, praise God. All right, but we can't have a birthday without doing a proper birthday shout out. I'm going to do a funky one again because of the fact that it's my buddy, and he is he's my buddy. So we're going to play a fun one, okay? This one is for you, Doug Dougie, and everybody celebrating.
Everybody pop some more, pop some champagne, pop some Hennessy, pop some love. Pop some more, pop some champagne, pop some Hennessy, pop some love. Happy party day, happy, everybody must be the end. Come with your baby, come with your friend. This kind of party no need to pretend. See, are they, happy party go there. My brother chop some chicken, some cheese with pepper soup. You go drink better, you go kaput. Everybody sing say, you got them they low it away. When you see them they throw it away. You go sing, you go like, you go run. You go the one know where they come from. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday, the money birthday. Everybody keep dancing and jumping, everybody there. Yeah. It's a happy birthday, everybody there. Don't switch up, baby, I'm no hot thing. Everybody make you jolly, they go. Jolly like say, there's no tomorrow. Every day is a holiday. Every day is a party day. Hip, 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 pure. Everybody make you hip hop pure. My mama, yeah, yeah. My mama, yeah, yeah. You make a tambour today, yeah. Every party, party day, yeah. It's a happy, happy, jolly, jolly ceremony. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
love, you fell love, see. Suddenly, all the ladies are calling me, see. It be like when you enter the place, everybody don't think it's easy to request, see. Because you hear bumper to bumper, some people think that to fender to bumper.
You just see them die, for this party no day die.
Everybody just begin to the jelly, just because I don't hear your yelly. Some money, some money, it be like say you want to go this thing, say. Can it be deal? For this party, yes, no big deal.
Happy birthday to everybody, man. Happy celebration. Every day is a holiday, man. Happy great day, my brother.
Happy birthday, congratulations, happy anniversary, and welcome, or bienvenue. Okay, that is for all the little babies that came into the world, especially little baby Caleb. Praise God. All right, moving right along. If you have some information about some upcoming events, please, we want to hear from you. We cover everything around the world. You need to check out our Facebook page, Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page. I tell you, I'm just tongue-tied today. Must be still cold from outside. Everybody around the world seems to be getting some messed up weather. I'm not sure what's going on, but somehow it's just not right. Praise God. It's sub below minus temperatures here, literally right down south to Florida. And then some other places in the world are just too hot. We need to meet somewhere halfway. So if someone can tell me the halfway point, then we can actually go there and we won't be hot and we won't be cold. Unbelievable. I'm not sure. I was speaking to someone today and we were talking about in Ontario and in Canada and I guess North America, we've gotten away with some good winters for the last several years, and I mean several years. And so somehow I think all the bad weather was stored up there and somebody got mad or somebody burst some bubble or they did something wrong and it just got out and it seems to be dumping on us. But you know what? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we will get through this. They say what doesn't kill you will only make you stronger. So I tell you, if you bundle up really warm, the cold will give up and just go away. Praise God. All right. Time for some more community happenings. Please check it out on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page. We will be updating later this evening all our events and adding more throughout the week. Okay, so don't forget, we want to do a special shout out tomorrow night. I believe that there's a fundraising dinner for, I think I announced it the evening that he was actually sworn in as a judge, a friend of mine, Donald McLeod. We want to say congratulations again to Just Cloud. Praise God. And I believe there's some sort of fundraiser there, but we've got a bunch of other events. We're not going to go through them all this evening. We need you to touch base and check it out. Now, as we move along, people, we have several sponsors for tonight and for the month because our theme is relationships, be it family, friends, siblings, loved ones, or lack thereof. Okay? And there's a reason for it, and if you stick around long enough, you'll get to hear me start the discussion with the wonderful Diane Johnston. I got to go and see her show this weekend. Had a blast. It was funny, and it was serious. And at one point, she was playing a role where she was crying, and I almost cried. I didn't want to tell her that. So hopefully she's not hearing, and she can't hear us until we get her online. But, yeah, it was touching because she dealt with some very serious things amongst the laughter. But right now, I'm going to play some of the segment from her show, and then we're going to play some of the audio that we got at her question and answer session right after the show. But what I need you to do is be patient because there were questions being asked and people didn't have a mic. And she was really good. She would bring their question into her answer. Forgive me, I can't talk. I'm just so excited. So first I'm going to play a segment from her show. It was kind of funny. And then I will go ahead and play some more of her Q&A session. Now that was really unique, very, very unique. So here's a segment of Desperate Church Wives.
Well, I'm going to tell the truth to you. My husband left me. And I am not ashamed to say that I begged him to stay. I begged him. This don't look good. We in church going to see. What you need me to do? Cut my hair, grow my hair long, lose weight, gain weight, and another woman you want? You can have this of me. And don't nobody say anything to me about that, him. Because Sarah thought that Abraham, our housemaid, for all we know, he could have been threatened to leave. Sarah, why did you come to my house and talk to me about this? Because I was clearly told and praying that he would come back. And I am tired of some of y'all coming up to become a wicked husband. I haven't seen him in a while if he's working. No, he ain't working. He just ain't here. All this mess started with most of us not talking to each other or having meals together, sleeping with that. And he's gonna up and leave me a note. Because when he thought right, he had sex. Will we meet up long enough to? Did he take it in the hospital or did he get a job working out of town or did he say he was going to the store to get some cigarettes? No, when they say that, they ain't coming back. I don't know where he's going. When he came back to get the rest of his things, Bell was blowing. Jason said he stepped over me. My house feels so empty without him. No long walk, cold shower, and that sharpness. And that day is up and done. My body still prays with all the good time.
Okay, that was a segment from Desperate Church Wives. This woman played, I think it was 6 characters, and it was amazing watching her. You could see when she would transition into each of the different characters. It was just amazing. But what you were hearing was when she was talking about when her husband left her, how he left her a note. And the older woman was saying, well, what did he do? Because she wanted to know, how did he leave you? Did he leave you a note? Did he tell you he was going to the store to get some cigarettes? I tell you, when people are ready to leave, they come up with some messed up ways to leave or they just leave. So what she was going through, but it was more funny to watch and to hear some of it. But these are serious topics, but she put some lightness to it. We're going to listen to Running Back to You by Reuben Studdard, and then we're going to hear some more on the Q&A from Diane Johnston, and then we're going to have her live on air, and we're going to discuss some of what she's got going on, and we're going to talk about relationships and the purpose of what she's trying to get out there with Desperate Church Wives, and as well a topic that she said we don't talk about. So this is Running Back to You by Reuben Studdard.
How can you forgive me when I've often gone astray? How can you think of me when I do things my way? Turning my back on you, the one who loved me first. Having my own desire, renewing worldly thirst. You told me you love me, and I should make up my mind. You tell me, come back now, but I keep wasting time. Feeling so very weak, you say I can be strong. I feel I've gone too far.
Amen. And that was Running Back to You by Reuben Studdard. Okay. And it's funny because, you know, I saw something the other day and it said, when somebody leaves you, sometimes God is protecting you from something, so don't necessarily always run after it. And I know it's hard. It's very hard to deal with because then there's that theory of if it's yours, set it free. If it was yours, it'll come back and all of this stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. I just truly believe that what is to be shall be it today, tomorrow, next week, whenever. I just realize that if somebody's going to hurt you enough to leave you and not really be reasonable about why they're leaving you, then you have to let them go and be strong in your faith in God, that God will get you through this. And you never know if the person wants to come back. I'm telling you right now, I know people who get back together with someone just because the person said, oh, I can't. And then they keep hounding them or they go through a phase where I've even seen situations where they say, well, if you don't come back, I'll kill myself and all kinds of dramatic things like this. And I know I shouldn't laugh, but the thing is, you cannot force somebody to be with you if they've already decided they don't want to be, because they may physically be there, but spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, they are gone. And it's just a matter of time that they physically leave, or you're going to be dealing with this person who's really not there. And I think we're all just so broken that we all need to be fixed. Amen? But hence some of the reasons why we do the things we do, and hence some of the characters in Desperate Churchwives, because I tell you, I'm a minister, and we've got church folk around all the time, and it's sad, but there are places that some people won't go, and they won't even come to church when they really should be in church, and it's mostly because they're not afraid of the world, but they're afraid of the people in the church. And that doesn't sound good. So somewhere, somehow, we're doing something very wrong. Okay. Diane Johnson, phenomenal woman. She's become one of my new buddies. You know me. I adopt all the wonderful people. And I got some of the audio from her closing Q&A. As I explained earlier, be patient with the audio because some of the questions, they did not have microphones. But Diane, being the professional woman that she is, she would engulf their question within her answer. And I tell you, it's a shocker. She's got some truth to tell you about herself. And I think this is one of the reasons why her and I have connected, because there is no pretense there. We have to stop pretending to be something we're not. So this is the closing Q&A from Desperate Churchwives. And then when we get back, we're going to be dealing directly live on air with my friend Diane Johnston, and we're going to deal with Desperate Churchwives, what's going on in her world, and we're going to talk about relationships. Hang in there.
I just noticed that each character has a specific language. So I just wanted to know how many or did it take you a while to figure out which language was appropriate.
So did you hear his question? He wants to know how long it took me to figure out the mannerisms and voices, and I'm glad that you picked that up. So the rehearsing process is, well, I write, and then I hear the voices when I'm writing a lot of times is what happens, and then I get an idea of who they are. Some of these characters are people that I know, and I just put them together, and I think about, you know, I have an aunt who sometimes she talks like this. I am from the States. I'm a black guy, dual citizenship. I was born and raised in the States. I am a Canadian citizen, a U.S. citizen, and a Christian, so I will cut you out as an American, and then I will then say sorry as a Canadian, and then I will pray for you as a Christian. I got it covered, yeah. So it takes a while in this rehearsing process. What we do is we just go through it and then think about which way the character would walk, how they would hold their hand, whether they would wear a hat, whether they would, you know, shoes, what have you, that happens in rehearsing. The start of it is what I'm writing and I hear in my head, but most people go in rehearsing. Yes, anything else? Yes.
What made you pick
the
storyline?
The reason why I picked the storyline, thank you for asking that, is because I don't hear a lot of preaching about Gomer. I don't know if you're already preaching about that. I don't know if you guys, what church you go to. I'm a non-denominational church. But do you hear stories about preaching about Gomer?
Yeah,
I usually don't hear them talking about Gomer, and I find that it's a great story of redemption. And it was a little similar to some of my life, that I got involved in drugs and in the sex industry. They've gone at the same time, because I don't know if I would still be here and we've all at the same time. And it's a very real thing, and I have a heart to go back to those places where I was, to grab them and say, you know what, God loves you. This is not what He wants for your life. There is a better life. You know, a lot of times we might think, oh, this is a good idea. this is a good idea, because I might have some fun. Yeah, and so you start eating up your brain cells, or you might OD, or until you're in a situation where there are guns involved. And a lot of times, you know, with drugs, with drinking, especially with women, when women are there, men think that it's a free-for-all. They want to take advantage of you. You know, we have to put ourselves in safe situations. So, and then working in the sex industry, working as a stripper, as a dancer, you know, I wasn't that good at it. I can't even act like I wasn't. I did not know what I was doing, and, you know, a whole other story behind that. So I wanted to kind of put that out there with it, to grab most of the world, to say hello, to get their attention. So that's why I picked that, and I felt like it should just go a lot of ways with it. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to actually get all your characters together
into
this show in 3 or 4
minutes? Because
I
didn't
actually
do
that.
This is my fourth show. This is the fourth show that I've written, produced, performed on my own. And I wasn't even going to do this show. Because the third one I had some challenges. I'm an encourager. I like to tell people, go, 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 go. With God, all things are possible. And if we look at our history as people of color, or even just in your family, some of the things that have gone on, and we're still here, keep going, keep going, keep going. And so it got to the point where I went, you know, I have a skill. I could answer phones, secretarial, real estate agent, and I was like, okay, I'll just go back in here and go serve phones. And I woke up and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to do that. So I prayed. I talked to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, my bad. I thought this was about me. Because things didn't work out the way that I thought that they were supposed to work out. I'm going to do this again. Doing it again, I got smarter. I hired someone to help me to edit, they call them drama surgeons when you're doing a play. It was an old friend, an old connection that I had from back in the States, and we worked over the phone, via email. I mean, with technology today, there's no reason why we can't reach out and touch anybody. And so that was a good part of it as well, to help me just keep going and to make sure that the writing and everything was tight. So as far as how long it took, we worked together. I did the writing, and I thank God for my husband, because he has allowed me to just do what I want to do, because he believes in me. He thinks I'm going far. So, you know, he allows me to stay home, and I can write. I pray in the spirit for the writing. When I get stuck, I pray in the spirit. I stop. I say, okay, Lord, what is this? You know, I stop. I talk to the Lord. What do you want me to tell your people, Father? And you know, I believe the Lord tells me stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, that was funny. That was good. So with this dramaturge, it took me about a month working with her. But before that, what I usually do is I'll get a title. And I got Desperate Church-wise coming out of church one Sunday with a whole bunch of stuff. Anybody had stuff going in their church?
Everybody.
This stuff, you know? Because
yeah.
We ain't perfect people, so we know we're going to have stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there's some stuff going on, and I'm like, yeah, that's all Desperate Church-wise. And so I was like, oh, great, the title. So I usually get a title first, and then I start writing. And I put this show up
in 2011 in Toronto, the Toronto Fringe Festival. And by the grace of God, it's still going, and I'm happy about that. So I usually have a deadline, you know, and we take it from there. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Out of your six schizophrenic characters, which one would you say is your favorite, and why?
Oh, which one is my favorite? I will say this. Barbara is my most exhausting. But Barbara be talking and moving and all that. I'm like, girl, slow down. It's tiring. You know, if anybody has a cousin like that, God bless her. You know, she's always talking real fast. Everything's going to be all emotional. Oh, my goodness, great. I'm going to be tired. My favorite, I must say I like grandma's work because part of me just wants to tell it like it is. Just tell people whatever I want to tell them, however I want to tell them. I think I'm getting to that age where I can just do that and not apologize for it. Thank you. Yes. Sure, yeah. She wants me to share my testimony. So I came from a very good home. I gotta give my parents props. My father has passed on, but I was born into a mother and father family, two sisters, in the suburbs, in Connecticut. And I realized this after going through counseling. My dad, the reason why I did what I did, my dad, God bless him, he passed on. Papa was a lone soul, you know. So when I found this out about my father, who I idolized, I come from a girl family, I've got two sisters, and they're just like always, you know, daddy, daddy, daddy. And that really hurt me. I didn't realize it then. Before, I would never touch drugs. Started smoking, drinking, then smoking, then lifting, then shooting. Yes. And I mean, I do. I give all glory to God because it was through Him that I got delivered. I've never been through a program. And whenever I see something on TV when people get busted, I'm like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? That could have been me. And what I used to do when I would get in a really tight situation is I would say the Lord's Prayer. I didn't know any better not to say the Lord's Prayer. So when it would get tight, and I mean, you know, somebody trying to take something from you, you don't want to give them. And then, you know, I get away and I'm praying and saying the Lord's Prayer. You know, I'm praying the Spirit then. And would say, you know, the Our Father Prayer. I knew the Our Father Prayer, and I knew Psalm 23. Teach your children how to pray.
Amen.
Teach them how to pray. My dad taught us how to pray. You got to teach your kids how to pray, and don't think even when they stray away, you keep praying for them. Because I thank God for those that pray for me. And again, you know, I look back on it and go, what was I thinking? I'm asthmatic. I used to be asthmatic. Asthma people should be smoking on cigarettes, doing drugs. You can't breathe as if on your own. So that right there does not even make any sense, right? As far as being in the club, I did not want to go to jail. And they were great, those clubs. Naive, still an adult naive, but still naive, not understanding that what was really going on in there. And again, I was thinking they were saying the Lord's Prayer. Honestly. I didn't know anything else to do. I just knew that I didn't want to do that anymore. And that's what I did. And that's really it. I don't have any other, no magic, no whatever. It's just by the grace of God, by His grace, that I stand here before you because I've lost girlfriends. I've known of young women that were in those clubs that are gone, you know. So by the grace of God, I always knew to pray. I always knew. Our Father which art in heaven, I always knew that you must be somewhere in the corner praying. So I'm praying, you know. I just knew to pray, and by the grace, Holy Spirit is alive, is real, just took the page from me, smartened me up and said, okay, you need to get on a better track. I want to be alive. You know, John 10:10, Jesus came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You know, yeah, we're going to have some trials and tribulations, but fear not, because he said Jesus to take all that stuff away from us. So My thing is, I want to have some fun, but I want to have some clean fun. I want to have some safe fun. I'm not trying to be somewhere where I got to get on the ground because they shoot me.
Yeah.
You know? So, by the grace of God, through prayer, that's really it. Thank you for asking that. Anything else?
Yes.
Yeah.
What next project do you have?
What next project? Thank you. What I'm working on right now is I would like to see this production into Turnkill TV series. So that's what we're working on now, is to have a Turnkill TV series. There are so many wonderful stories in the Bible. It's nothing new that none of us have done, can do. It's all in the Word of God. And to take it and put it in a way that people are going to understand it, you know? The world, I mean, a lot of us that are in the church that are all wrapped up and tied up and in bondage as well, too. You know, a lot of us in the church. I've been fortunate enough to meet the actor Tasha Smith, who's in a lot of Tyler Perry movies. And she's a believer, so I sought her out because I knew she was a believer, a black woman, and successful. Sought her out, we became friends, and we do workshops together. She teaches classes. She's allowed me to teach her technique of acting up here as well. And what we find a lot of times in our workshops, a lot of Christians are attracted to her in this workshop, but a lot of us are in such bondage that it's unbelievable, and we don't even know it. So it's not just for the world, it's for us inside the church. We've been redeemed by the purpose, from the curse of the law through the blood of Jesus, and we've got to believe that. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's what I'd like to do, to put these stories on TV series. There's some TV programs out there where we watch them and we just zone out. And it's not teaching us, it's hitting our spirit. It's not teaching us anything. If anything, it's making us act sad and crazy. You know, we're depressed, we don't know why, but we're allowing that stuff to hit our spirit. So that's what I'm working on right now. And I do want to, I don't know what's going to happen, I would like to do the German Truth, though. I'd like to thank her and do her right now. So that's something that I've got, but in the back of my head, I haven't started writing it yet, but that's another thing. Yeah.
Okay. We were listening to part of the closing Q&A from Desperate Church Wives, and that was Diane Johnston. You can tell this woman is a wealth of information. She's a phenomenal actress. She's an amazing comedian, and you'll notice you might have heard that lovely voice out there that asked the question about which is her favorite of her six schizophrenic characters, and that was me. But I tell you, she brings reality to the stage. You know, she was talking about the Bible and the different things that you can see in the stories in the Bible, because I always laugh. People say, oh, well, it's the world's best-selling book around, and it's written in so many languages. Well, of course it is. Everyone who reads the Bible don't necessarily read it because they want the information on how to be right or to live right or to get in touch with the Lord or to love everyone. They read it because it is a novel. It really is. We've got drama, murder, we've got incest, we've got cheating spouses, we've got all kinds of stuff. From rags to riches stories, you name it. So y'all are watching these reality shows on TV and reading all these books, even with smut in there. I mean, we got some sexy, sexy hot scenes in there by a man named Solomon. And there was a king, he had a whole harem, and he ran off with someone else's wife and tried to kill her husband, and, you know, that's reality, and that's what took place in the Bible. And I think one of the key things that we have to remember as Christians is it says that we should be in the world, but not of the world. And so we still have to be set apart above and beyond the world, but we still have to learn how to function. And a lot of Christian folk, we tend to not think that we even want to function with the rest of the world. We are, yes, I admit we are riches and heirs to the throne of glory. But at the same point, we still have to function in the world. And how are you supposed to win people over to the Lord if you're avoiding everybody? So But it's a reality check, and I think this is one of the things that I enjoy about Diane Johnston, because she brings it and makes it real, and she certainly does on this stage. I mean, there were some topics in there, and we're going to try and touch base with some of them. But what I'm going to do is we've got her holding. She's coming on live on air in a few minutes. I'm going to put on Christmas Love by Alexis Danielle McFay, K-Jazz-A, and only because I need to play this, because Christmas time tends to be the time of year when we notice that we don't have a significant other even more. So this is Christmas Love by Jazz A, and following this song, you're going to be hearing my voice, which I'm sure you're tired of, and the wonderful voice of the lovely Diane Johnston.
The reason for the season, to celebrate his sacrifice. The King of Kings, Prince of Kings, the newborn King, talking about the birth of Christ.
Yeah, that was Jazz A and Christmas Love. I love that. I remember when she was on our show and we talked about that song, and I said it's kind of smooth and jazzy and sexy and sultry. Well, you know, it's okay to be sexy. It's okay to be Christian and sexy. I'm sorry, I'm going to put it out there, but all those Christian people who are married, if you want your spouse to look sexy for you, put your hands up. Amen. I believe sexy can work for you in the house, but you should be taking it out on the street for other people. Amen. Praise God. Now, everyone, I'm excited. I've got a treat. We heard about Diane Johnson. We heard segments of Diane Johnson. We heard answers to a life that just blew us out of the water. And now I'm going to turn her mic on. I got to check, check, check. Diane, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, praise God. I'm well. I'm blessed and highly favored and really cold.
Oh. It's called layering. You got to layer.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I said earlier that if we have to almost get things to go away, that if we put on enough clothes, the cold will be mad and leave.
That's it.
I think so, because it's sort of like, I'm going to get you, because it's kind of like it started out with a snowstorm one weekend.
That's right.
And we got through it. And
yep.
It's like, oh, okay, hold up. I got something for you. Ice
yep.
storm.
Then the ice came. That's
and,
right.
And took all our power out. And then we got through that. And then the following weekend, we
That's
had
true.
Like
I didn't even think about it that way. But you are so right. That's exactly. We got
yeah.
boom, boom, and boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single weekend.
Yeah.
So if we just prove that we can do this, we can just grip together, layer up, the cold will go away. I hear it's already getting ready to run away. So we might have scared it out of town.
I think you're right on that. We scared it away.
It now,
said boo. We said
of
booyah.
Tough, there you go. That was it. It must have been when you said it, Rand. I can't see the cold playing with you because I wouldn't mess with you. I tell you right now. Praise God. Now, speaking of tough, girl, you brought some stuff on the weekend. You had your second running of Desperate Church Wives.
And to
remember,
God be
I had
the glory.
Been wanting to see this. Oh,
thank you. Mm-hmm,
girl,
mm-hmm.
at another full house.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yes. Yeah, I,
now,
you know, I am
talk.
So full. I feel really blessed because, you know, we sat down and I spoke with Lorena and Colin over at Gospel Cafe, and we talked about doing the show, and we were like, okay, fine, we picked a date. You know, you just don't know. January 4th, whether people are away still or, you know, who knows what's happening. Actually, the first show actually was the 28th, so it was right after Christmas. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people just piled in there. It was just really, it was great. So to the point where it was like, okay, a couple of days before, I believe it was a couple of days before, Colin phoned and said, listen, we might have to do another show because the numbers are high here. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go for it. So I really feel full, just blessed by the Lord because, you know, we're not in control of anything. Everything
Amen.
Is in God's
we're
timing.
Not.
He is in control of it at all, so he gets the people in. We pray in his will, you know, the Father's will, but he's the one that has everything done.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I was talking about that, too, with the weather, that maybe the Lord is doing this to remind us that we don't control nada.
Nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing.
Amen.
So I give him the glory
now,
and yes.
We had spoken before, and of course it was a joy to have you on the show because I was so anxious to hear about it because I thought, this sounds really cool. So now that we managed to get you on our show, we got to see the show and loved it. I don't know if you got to see some of the commentary that I put, so I'm going to read it in a few minutes. But give us a little overview again about what the show is. And we want to talk a little more about this Gomer situation only because we're dealing with relationships right now.
Okay. Well, you know, the story, Desperate Church Wives, is loosely based on the Bible story of Prophet Hosea and his harlot wife, Gomer. And I have it set in a modern day as if we're having a church meeting, and it's the minister's wife instead of the prophet. Gomer, who is a Sunday school teacher who gets busted for prostitution. Now, the whole story about in the Bible, the way it's depicted, is for God to show his love to those who turned their back on him. The Israelites turned away and started worshiping idols, and once they came back, God still took them in. So this is what it's paralleling. It's just paralleling his love that he has for us. So the whole story basically is about unconditional love. And I make it fun. You know, I try to make it a fun thing where I do these six-plus characters. It's six main characters, and I slip a couple other ones in there. But the six main characters where we're sitting around and we're talking about the fact that there's a Sunday school teacher who's been busted for prostitution, and what is this? You know, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Right? And as you mentioned, there's a lot of different topics that I threw in there to point out because I thought it was a good time. And again, I try to keep it fun and light, because you can slip in a lot of truth when you got some funny in it. It's like they say, it's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Medicine go down, exactly, and it's not true. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about each of the characters.
Well, the show starts out with Grandma Word, who is the elder of the church, and she basically tells it like it is. You know, she's the Bible preaching, quoting woman in the church. And then you have your pastor, who I have her as this very tight character who is sort of stuffy and doesn't say much, but she tries to keep the peace within the church. And then we have your fast-talking ex-stripper girl who's just coming from the world but who's trying to get to know the Lord. You know, she's been in the church for a while, but she still, you know, has a little bit of the world in her and the church in her, and she's trying to mix it all up together. And then we've got a very sophisticated Clarissa, who's very bourgeois-like. You know, she's a very... Mm-hmm. She's the one who you're not too sure about, because she's just like, well, I don't know about all these people in here, because she doesn't want to talk to everybody. But she goes to church regularly. She pays her tithes. She gives donations because she has the money to do so. And then you've got Minister Hosea, who is Gomer's husband, who's a minister, who's the one who has been betrayed, but he loves his wife. So he does what he believes God tells him to do, and he goes and gets his wife off of the block and brings her back home. And so, like I said, there's a couple other little characters we might throw in there here and there, but those are the characters of the show, the main ones.
Okay. Now, obviously, the story of Gomer is literally forgiveness.
Yes, forgiveness. It sure is. It's forgiveness. It's unconditional love.
Is the agape love that I had mentioned before, and that's the love that we have to learn to do for each other, but we have to learn it for ourselves first.
Girl, let me tell you something. That agape love, that's the kind of love that we have to get through from God. He has to download that in us. And I would say to anybody who is married and who wants to stay married, you need that agape love. Because, you know, you can't hold on to things. And the only way that we can do this, I believe, is to be empowered to do it. You can't just come up and just do it, boom, like that. And you have to love yourself first, yes. And that's, again, by our Heavenly Father, his love, showing us how to love ourselves, and then we're able to give that. We can't give anything we don't have.
Yes, that's true. And we can't give things that we don't know.
That's right.
Because understanding it is where it all begins. And that's why earlier, before you came on, I was talking about how we need to learn things like a child. And so we all need a mentor. We all need someone to teach us. And so God is the original professor.
Yeah.
He is the one who has taught us, and we have to work on perfecting it. And we graduate and kind of move up the ladder in grades as we learn to give more. And that's why I was talking about how in relationships, how you get these women who get mad because the Bible says that they have to submit to their husbands, but they don't seem to understand the full concept of it. It's not
Let me tell you, I went to an awesome marriage conference in September, I believe it was September, early October, whenever it was, but Tamila and David Mann were hosting. It was in Fort Worth, Texas. Yes, it was
wow.
Really epic. Everybody who's listening, please go to the Facebook page, Blended Sand, and like it, and just be aware so you can stay posted on any other marriage conferences that are coming up. But there was a minister who spoke on submission, and she put it together like I had never heard it before, and it basically was that we are a super sexy, submissive women. Because you have to know, you just have to know the power in submission. It doesn't mean that you're following, you know, with your head down, you know, 2 feet behind your husband. No, there is something super and sexy about being submissive to your husband. You know, it's the way God made us, and you want to be in order. So it was funny after that. I said, oh, we need to get a T-shirt. You know, I'm a super sexy, submissive woman.
I like that. It's like triple S's. Forget triple X, triple S.
Yes.
But it's important. And that, you know, we need to bring the sexy back.
We do.
There is nothing wrong with that. I mean, God gave you a husband, and you should just let it go.
You have to enjoy each other.
It's biblical. You know what? I always laugh when I talk about the story where you hear, and he went into the tent and he began to know her.
Right.
And I say, what do you think he was doing in this?
I know.
We're not playing 20 questions.
He wasn't reading her mind.
Yeah, it's like, So do you like red, blue? What's your favorite color?
Yes.
No.
Yes, exactly.
And
yes,
until you have enough trust within yourself to love who you are within yourself, it makes it so much easier when you're ready to submit to that husband who, as I said earlier, has to be a man of God because he is going to love you like Jesus loved the church.
Amen. Then that's his job.
And
amen.
What that means is he's prepared to even die for you.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
All
and God
right.
commands us to submit one to another as a husband and wife, to submit one to another out of the obedience to Christ. So, you know, everything has order. Everything has order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that it's really about.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Everything has order. No, I just realized I just sounded like Oprah for a minute. Okay. It's happening. I'm transitioning. Help me, Diane. Help me. All right. So now, here's the other thing that happens now, because we've already dealt with the husbands and wives, but, you know, it also says in the Bible something about he who finds a wife findeth a good thing.
A good thing. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, a good thing, because if he finds a good thing, he ain't bringing her home. So he who findeth a wife, and that's the, it doesn't say he who finds somebody and makes her his wife. He has to find you code where you are already a wife waiting to be taken.
Good point. Good point.
I love doing that when I've done that. I've done workshops on that. And the girls just kind of look at me because they say, oh, yeah, I need to find a husband. And no, you don't need to find anything else. Have you been working on you?
Exactly. You know, I was having a conversation with a woman recently, and they were sharing with me how they were speaking privately with a man who was married, and he would let her know that he was having problems with his wife, and she sort of was eavesdropping on their conversation. He's like, listen to her. She's yelling at me, yada, yada, yada. And I said to this woman, I said, now, wait, whoa. She goes, no, I never say anything bad about the wife, and you know, I don't want him. I go, but that's a violation. That is a violation.
Yeah.
You have no right and no business to be anywhere in that. Now, especially if you want to be a wife. You know, if you want to be a wife, show yourself as a wife, you know? And it's sometimes I wonder, I'm not passing judgment because I'm in no position to judge. I am just giving some advice. If you want to be a wife, act like a wife, like you said, you know? being faith. Now faith is. So if that's what you want to do, and so would a wife, you know, right? Right? So would a wife be eavesdropping in on another, not the virtuous Proverbs 31 woman? She would not be.
Well, the fact
of
the matter is it didn't consist of three people, and that's what it is, because there's no discussion between the two of them.
So
right there, because it says the two became one.
That's right. So we as women, we really have to check ourselves a lot of times, too, and think about what it is that we're doing, what it is that we want, and then go back to the rule book and see if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Find out how to do it.
And you know what? It's funny, because I described myself the other day to somebody, and they just kind of looked at me, and I just grinned. And this guy tells me, what did he say? He says, oh, well, I'm an old school kind of a guy. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I'm a modern-day old-school girl, too.
I like that.
And he just sort of looked at me, and I thought, because I'm modern-day, because the fact is, the old-school day, the women never worked.
Right.
The women stayed home. She cooked. She cleaned. She looked after kids. She just took care of her man. But the modern day woman, it's almost become a necessity. But even if it wasn't a necessity, the modern day woman is more cultured and educated and more respected woman. And so because we are capable, it would be a shame to waste a brilliant mind to lock us in the home just to teach us how to use spick and span and cook some pork chops. So, we now work, we now attend various functions, and we're involved in the community, but we're still old school because our greatest aspirations is to come home to look after our man. And I think that's what's kind of scaring some of these girls, because what's happening is, to submit to your husband does not mean that if he can cook, let him cook.
That's right. That's true.
But they think, well, I'm supposed to cook and clean, I'm supposed to do it. No, you're not a slave. A relationship is supposed to be a partnership of two minds becoming one.
That's right.
And you share in everything. And because we are modern day women, there are modern day men. Their only theory on old school tradition is that, you know, I'm still the man of the house.
Right. Yeah, and the roles have, you know, they've, how do I want to say this? They're not clear. The roles need to be clarified. I think there's been a lot of, you know, as I've heard it said, you know, since the women's lib and a lot of things came in, and just the roles just got all murky and everything. But I think I agree that women can and should go out if they want to go outside the home and work. Because, listen, a stay-at-home mom, that's work. That is definitely, that is work. I mean, and that's work that she's not getting a paycheck for. But if the two of them decide that, you know, she wants to go out of the home and work, then fine. And then you just set down who's going to do what and how. But too many women are literally killing themselves trying to do it all. Can't do it all, you know. You can't do it all, not happily, you know, have the house clean, go outside and work. I wonder sometimes how people are managing as well with going out and working, both husband and wife, working full 8-hour jobs, and then there's the children, and then the children have their activities. Okay, who is spending time with who and how? How is that happening? You know, because
exactly.
Yeah, the meals still have to be made, and then, you know, the house has to be cleaned eventually. So I just wonder how all this stuff is getting done, and is anybody really happy, or is anyone really spending any time together, you know, investing any time with one another, where everybody is so busy, instead of just being with each other.
Yeah. And that's kind of difficult because, like you said, you have to make the time. We recommend date nights. And date nights doesn't mean that you have to go out. It just means picking one day or 2 days out of the week that you dedicate to each other, even if it means ordering food and sitting down and just watching TV together, snuggled up.
Exactly. My husband and I, we have to get back on our date night. But we would have date nights on Friday evenings. And I remember one of our date nights, which was fun, we went to IKEA.
But that's a bad place to go, girl. I love that place. And you know what? That's hours spent right there because it takes that long just to get from one place
exactly.
to the other in there.
Exactly. And we just thought, wow, like this is, but it was us together walking through there hand in hand, you know, looking at all the things, picking up a bunch of stuff, putting it back down before you get out of there. But, you know, because you pick up things you don't really need a lot of times. But, you know, no matter what, but we were together having our date night. And it's important for marriages to maintain that.
Okay. Now, here's the very important question. While you were in IKEA, did he pay for Swedish meatballs for you?
Oh, my gosh. I know, huh? Yes. I know.
I know your husband. So you tell him he owes you another date night at IKEA, and he has to go upstairs, and he's got to have Swedish meatballs, and they have great dessert up there.
Yes. Yep. It's true. I know. You're right. We've even gone there once before for we haven't done it in a while for their breakfast, which was like $2 or something.
Oh,
but it was just the
really?
Idea.
Really, I didn't even know about that.
Oh yeah, it was just the idea of oh my goodness, we can really have a breakfast for this amount, so just to try it. But yeah, just keeping it fun. You know, you got to keep it fun.
Yes. Yes, definitely, and it's important because I think what happens is we forget why we were in love.
Right.
And before we move on, I'm just going to take a quick break. We're going to throw on some music just so we can take a cooler here. And then we're going to come back and touch base on this topic. And this is going to be Reuben Stoddard. And it's called Single. I'm Single. Amen. So now we've got to come back and deal with what do we do if we're single and we're still looking? What changes do we need to make, and do we have to change our lives? We'll be right back after I'm Single by Reuben Stoddard.
June 28th, I was saying I do to my bride. And 2 years later in October, we said goodbye. My bed's been so cold in the space you occupy. And what I wanna say is, baby, I miss you. And when I see you in the street, I'ma speak, but now it's official. But it's official, you don't really want to fix us, but you act like you don't want to break up. I can't wait around for you to make up your mind, baby. I'm single.
Well, I'm single, says lady. When you see me walking down the street, don't be afraid. This was a hot topic the other day with a friend of mine on Facebook, because I think we end up spending so much time wanting to meet a man, but the problem is we won't approach a man, and men aren't always approaching us. So we've got Diane Johnson on the line, the actor, comedian, and producer of the phenomenal one-woman show Desperate Church Wives, and she believes in telling it like it is. Diane, are you still there?
I am, thank you.
Praise God. Now, this was an issue. Being old school and being modern all combined, and as you said, the roles need to be defined. If I see a very handsome brother walking down the street, I know if it was me, if I was interested, and I'm saying this out in the public, but I know deep down inside it's probably not even going to be what I would ever work up the guts to do, because I'm learning to be bold. But the fact is, I think the one thing I have learned, if I actually have the guts to acknowledge. Let's use the word acknowledge, because I will not approach the man. I know it's probably the wrong thing to. Don't worry, we've got a relationship counselor coming in over the month so they can tell us how it's done. But, okay, the most important thing I think, and men will complain about that, that they may not work up the guts to approach a woman either because they're afraid of rejection. And I think the rejection itself is not necessarily the fear that you're not interested. It's how you do the rejection to the man, and it seems to scar them for life.
It is. You know, well, I grew up with sisters, but I will say this just from talking with my husband about these sort of things. He said, you know, it's really hard. He has admitted that. It's for a guy to go up and approach a woman, you don't know what she's going to say. And if she turns you down, it's hard on their ego. Men are ego built. I mean, this is how the Lord made them. So it's a difficult thing for them. So ladies, even if you're not interested, just if you have to turn the man down, try to find the nicest way to do it, you know.
So you mean yelling
out
at him and ask him if he's lost his mind and it's not going to work?
You know, and sometimes we could be, because women, you know, we can be really mean. You catch us the wrong time. We're like, no, like, what are you thinking? Like, ew, like, you know, we can throw, are you crazy?
I like
we think
one,
I'd ever go
like,
out with you?
Real?
You know, so some of us, it's like, and the poor guy's like, well, yeah, that's why I kind of went up to you to ask, because I kind of thought I had a chance, right? So we can be harsh. But
I never really thought how bad it sounds.
Oh,
I thank God.
I used to be a real meanie.
I'm polite about it.
I used to be a meanie, especially with girlfriends. You know, we could be really mean, but thank God for the cross and for the blood. I didn't know any better. Yeah.
Well, I think the key thing is, and this is how I've always been, the smile.
Yes. Yes.
The smile. If you see him look at you, even for a moment, then you have to catch his eyes. And I think, listen to me, I'm giving instructions on stuff I wouldn't do, but I would like you to do. But you have to. Well, no, because, I mean, how is he going to know? And the eye contact and the smile is all he has to work with.
That's right. You know, and so that will give him a clue right there. Usually, if he's interested, you make eyes, you smile. I think that's perfectly fine. It lets him know that it's okay to approach you if you give him the smile. You
they
know?
Still don't, though. They're still, they're really scared these days. I mean,
wow.
They met people like back in the day who told them off and did the, ugh.
Are you kidding me?
I'm meeting your rejects, Diane. I hope you're happy. The next one that runs, I'll say, Diane said she's sorry.
You're covered under the blood. You're redeemed.
I know. Jesus loved you. But I mean, I guess as women, we have to learn to be bolder now too. And this is a little, I mean, when you think about it, the men are now taken out of their comfort zone.
Mm.
And we think because they're men, they're supposed to be aggressive and they're supposed to, no, the caveman days are done.
Mm.
So I guess we have to put a little bit more effort into it, I say.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lord is talking to me. I probably find a husband next week, I think. Next week's show, Pat J. Rose meets a man. No.
Well, you know, one of the things I do want to say about this that I hear and that I have learned since my days of being single and not born again is that it's a lot of times you'll hear women say, I got to find me a man, and I'm going to find me a man, you know, and it's not about finding a man. And as you said earlier, you know, God says when the man finds himself a wife, he's found a good thing.
Yes.
You know, he has to find her, you know, it's not us going to looking because men are by nature, they're pursuers, they're hunters. So it would be him looking for, and I also heard this somewhere, I don't know if this is scriptural or not, but that when he finds her, to find her, and where should he find her? In church, serving.
Oh, you know, that would be nice.
A lot of us will run away from that. But listen, there are so many things you can do. And I'm not suggesting that everyone spend all their days in the church. But, you know, if you were serving in church, whether you're singing, whether you're in the nursery, whether you're hostessing, there's lots of things that you can do. You know, that's a good way for you to get yourself ready and to be around. Another one is to be around married women, to see how married women act. You know, good, godly married women. So we also, I think it's in the book of Titus where it says that the older women should teach the young women. Well, the married women should teach the ones that are single that are looking as well. So,
That's right.
We have to help each other out there.
And I'm sorry, we talked about being sexy. That is for at home with your husband.
Mm-hmm,
but
I agree.
Bringing sexy back out on the street and in the church, per se, not a good idea.
Well, you know what? It's very distracting. Also, I went to a meeting, Pure Life Ministries, I believe it was called, and they were talking about they had done a poll of how the men felt in the church, and a lot of men in the church do not feel safe in the church because there are so many distractions with the tight clothing and the cleavages. You know, we live in a society that's highly sexed today. So you would hope that when you're in church that you don't have to deal with that because you're dealing with it so much in the world. And so when you come to church, so you know, and I love fashion. I really enjoy fashion. I like fashion, and so a lot of the fashion today goes towards that too. So we have to find a way to be fashionable if you like fashion, but still remember that you know that temple. We need to keep it covered.
Yeah. And I mean, nobody's saying you've got to go to church looking like a school mom. I'm a minister. I don't go there looking like a school mom. At least I hope I don't. But from what I understand, I don't. But I mean, you still got to be respectful and reasonable in how you carry yourself. And I think one of the things, ironically enough, is a man would actually prefer you if you weren't like that, because then he doesn't have to feel uncomfortable about when he's gone to work and you're out at work, what you're looking like or how you carry yourself.
That's right. That's a good point.
You know, you represent him. You represent your family. And you've got to walk like an ambassador of Christ and for the people you're affiliated to.
That's right.
Okay. So step number one, we've already learned, don't knock a brother down while you're trying to build up some guts. Is that something you should use? Two, the smile, the eye contact. That's where it's got to be braver because, you know, if a guy, I'm going to tell you the truth. If a guy looks at me and I kind of realize that he kind of likes me and I kind of like him, I won't keep looking at him. I will look away. He is the one person I won't be able to look at. So I guess we have to work on our women being a little bolder because, as you said, our roles are slowly changing because of the times that we're in that the life has changed. And so we have to change certain things about us. If the men are not coming forward, the women have to be just a little tad more aggressive, just a tad. We can't be out there trying to club a man and run him off the street and take him home.
It's
not
going
to be working.
It's
and
not.
He's not going to appreciate it.
And I think, again, some of the rules have gotten all mixed in together because women have been so aggressive, too aggressive, that it's made the man sit back. That's what I think has happened. So we have to take a good look at it. I think we really need to take a good look at it all.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, I'm going to play one more song, and then we will bring you back on, Ms. Diane Johnston, for some closing words before I sign off on our show. So this is Somebody Love You by Maurice Gray featuring Saucy.
For real, they say you don't exist. All you do is laugh and kill. Everybody's got issues, and they wanting you to solve them. Then you help them with their problems just to be let down. There's a rumor going around that you're a prophet, not the son. I beg your pardon, he is Christ, the anointed one. Everybody's gone crazy like you said they would. I gotta reach a word daily like you said I should. And my hood is a mess, your house is too. All we do is argue about what we supposed to do. We supposed to help pastor, enemies, friends and foes. Hoop and holler, take an offering, no focus on souls. And my goal is to reach them through this gift called rap. You gave me that and you got followers who's mad at that. I know they did it to you, I hear them saying we gon' nail them. I quote Psalms 91 and this is when I tell them that. They say grandma's gone. I know death is sure to come, but you sit on the throne. My phone steady ringing, bad news they steady bringing. I got peace in my heart, so I begin to sing it like Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. That's grandma's song. She could sing it all day long when she's feeling low. Even on her bad days, man, y'all just don't know. The roots of our family, she's stronger than you think. We the chain brought together, can't be missing that link. Since the word gives life, I'ma speak it till I see change. And when I see change, I'm praising God for the whole thing. No pain, grandma was gone for 3 whole minutes, but my God brought her back. That's what the doctors bear witness to, a miracle. Here I go, giving God praise again, thanking him for grandma's life. And you my friend, cause
thank you.
Okay, that was Somebody Loves You, Baby by Maurice Gray featuring Saucy. And yes, Somebody Loves You. We know the Lord loves everybody. And I can honestly say that Jesus loves you, and so do I. And I think I'd like to speak on behalf of Diane Johnston. I'll let her speak for herself, but I'm sure she'll tell you the same thing, that Jesus loves you, and so does she. Amen.
Amen.
Diane,
amen.
You got any closing words on relationships, and more importantly, what's next for my friend Diane Johnston?
Well, on relationships, first of all, we have to know how to love ourselves. Every morning when I get up, I look in the mirror and I say, you get up in the morning, you go to the bathroom. This is what everybody does. On the way to the toilet, I look in the mirror and I say, God loves you, Diane. You know, because
Amen.
We have to know that he loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. So no matter what's going on, if you think your mama don't love you, daddy don't love you, your kids, your spouse, your best friend, you know who does? God loves you. And he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that's something key to hold on to. What's next for me is I'm working on bringing the show to the States. That's for Church Wives. So there's a couple of festivals that I'll be submitting to this year. One, the Atlanta Fringe Festival, and hopefully the New York All for One Theater Festival as well. So we're hoping to bring the show to the States and some places back in Toronto and Mississauga. We're going to work on that to build an audience base as well. And anybody listening can connect with me. Just check out my Facebook page, Diane Johnston. That's John and Stone, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N-E, and keep posting on what's going on.
Definitely. Well, we will make sure that we link everybody up to you as well. And Diane, thank you. It's been a joy. It's been a pleasure. We're going to have Diane back sometime because I just love dealing with her and talking with her. She's such a wise woman. Tell your husband I said, see, she's not so foolish.
Pastor Jay, you are awesome. I appreciate you, and I'm so glad that we met. And you're doing a good thing here.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? God is good all the time, and he keeps me going. And I tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. So my
Amen.
Sister, may the Lord continue to bless you. May he allow you to prosper in his glory and in his honor. And let the vision go forth, and you bring it to reality in the name of Jesus. God bless
Amen.
You and your husband. As you continue to go through, prosper and love and eat Swedish meatballs in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, sis.
All right. Tell my friend I said hi.
I will. And you have a great evening. Okay. Thank you very
much. I will.
God
Thank
bless.
You so much. God bless you. Okay, everyone. That was the wonderful Diane Johnston. Wasn't she awesome? And the Desperate Church Wives. I tell you, it's funny. It's good. You could bring it to the church, wherever you want to bring it, she'll bring it. I know she will. So you want to hook up with her. I'm going to close out with the song Together by Reuben Studdard, because we've been together and we got to keep it together, and you need to stay together. And more importantly, you're going to end up getting together with that someone special. Praise God, because what's for you is for you, and what's for me is for me, and what is for us is for us. And God said he has nothing but good things for us, and I'm going to take all he has that's good. He did not give us any bad thing. He said he would not withhold any good thing. So if you're holding on to the bad things, you need to kick it out the door. Push it away. If you're in a bad relationship, you've got to fix it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And you've got to remember the love begins with God, and then it takes place within you. And it'll spill over so much that somebody else will get a chance to feel some of that love and enjoy it. If you want to become a wife, you've got to let a man find you as a wife. And brothers, my Jesus loves his church, so you better be loving on his girls, because that's what he told you to do. This is Together by Reuben Studdard, and I say, God be with you till we meet again, and we shall be back together in Jesus' name.
the same.